Christianity is a believing religion. I know a lot of churches that emphasize more obedience than they emphasize belief. But think about it. The famous passage of John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And Jesus said in John 7 and verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And in Hebrews chapter 11, and dropping down to verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. So if we don't have belief, if we don't have faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God, it says, Hebrews 11, verse 6, he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Well, what are beliefs? What is faith? Let's talk about beliefs. As a psychologist, I have to deal with people who periodically have bad beliefs. You know, beliefs can be beneficial or they can be harmful. Beliefs can be useful or useless. Beliefs can be expansive or they can be limiting. Beliefs can be growth promoting or they can be stagnating. A belief can be healthful and healing, or it can be disease producing. Beliefs can be damnable or blessed. So there are many categories of beliefs. And as a psychologist, sometimes beliefs, I find, can be a pattern in the brain. And many times I ask people to make a picture of them. Make a picture of that belief. Hold it and make a picture in your mind. Make a picture. How would you describe it? How would you paint it? How would you draw that belief? But beliefs are powerful patterns in the human mind. They are so powerful that once the belief is there, it actually can block your direct sensing experience of the world around you. You will not accept, you will not see, you will not let enter into your mind actual facts, actual truth, actual things that are there, because you have a belief that excludes that fact. It just can't be taken in. It can block your ability to take in truth, that belief. So what are beliefs? Let me give you this definition. Beliefs are generalizations about causation or causations. They're beliefs about meanings or boundaries in the world around us. Generalizations can be about the world. It can also be about ourselves. It can be, you can have beliefs about you, about your capabilities, about your personal character, about your worth, about your identity, how you describe you. There are also beliefs about God, about people, about nations, about government, about the world, about the universe, about the expansive heavens above us. Beliefs then lead to opinions, judgments, what we call positions. You take a position. It can lead to prejudices, desires, antagonisms, hatreds. How important are beliefs? How important are they? Well, people will kill quicker, more severely, and far more expansively for a belief than they will for money or for food. Radical Islamic terrorists in our modern age will kill because they believe infidels should be destroyed, and their religion, their belief says if you kill them, you will be forgiven of sins, you can go to a heavenly place. As one sister to the bomber outside of that concert in England tweeted to her brother, "Congratulations on entering paradise." So he had a belief that if I kill these other people with a different culture, with a different religion, with a different faith, I will be exonerated and forgiven, expiated from all my sins. In the Middle Ages, Catholic Inquisitions took heretics, people who did not believe in the orthodoxy of their religion, and they tortured them until they gave in or they died in order to change their beliefs. Because your belief is divergent from mine, I must kill you or destroy you or make you change your belief. Nobody could form beliefs better than the Nazis during World War II. The Nazis created a belief in their people that all the problems of the world and of their nation came from the Jews. If we could get rid of the Jews, we could have a peaceful nation. And the people believed it, accepted it. Not everybody, of course. There were people who thought that was crazy, but there were many ordinary citizens in Germany, in Berlin, different places, who believed that this was the thing to do. We must kill them. We must destroy them. And nothing is too bad for them. Because once we get rid of them, what will we have? We'll have peace. We'll have prosperity. We'll stop all this. How about the Rwanda massacre, in which the Hutus decided that the Tutsis, you know, they were this way, they were so elegant, and they thought they were so much better than us. And a sustained campaign took place in which the people of Rwanda in Africa saw the Tutsi tribe as the Tutsis as evil, dirty, no good, rotten. They had to be exterminated. And there was a genocide. They were out to kill each and every Tutsi person there. Each and everyone. And the roads were filled with dead bodies, with slicing machetes, or anywhere that the Tutsis were, they were slaughtered, trying to put them out. That's because of a belief. They weren't trying to steal their property necessarily. It's a belief that you are bad, you're evil, you must be destroyed. So beliefs are really scary sometimes. What people will do for the pattern that forms inside their brain, it can be frightening. I heard a person talking about the man who shot some of the members of the Republican Congress. They were House of Representatives, you know, they were going to play the the baseball, and the day before on the field they were practicing, and a man came in. He had come into Washington, D.C. and had been there for a couple of months, and he evidently had purchased lawfully in the state of Virginia a rifle, I think it was an assault rifle, and he was there with the shells. He had plenty of bullets, and he inquired. Now, one of the news people said, "Oh, that this guy was a psychopath." If you were to ask me as a psychologist, was this man a psychopath? I say no. He was not a psychopath. He was not out without conscience. He had a belief. What was his belief? That the Republicans and the leaders of the House of Representatives were evil. They were protecting the rich and only, and that they were putting the pressure on the lower classes, and that they should be exterminated. And if he could do that, he could save America. They were bad for America. He could save it if only he could kill them off and kill their leadership. That's his belief. He wasn't a psychopath. He wasn't gypping the average person. He wasn't just killing just anybody. He had a target. His target was based on his belief structure of his mind. And with that belief, he thought he was doing good. He thought he was doing well. He thought he was pleasing God. In John chapter 16, verse 2, it reads like this. The Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 2. "They will make you outcasts." This is Jesus telling his disciples. "They will make you outcasts from their synagogues. But an hour is coming for everyone who, because everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. These things they will do because they have not known my Father nor me." So here, they're going to kill you thinking, "I'm doing a good thing. I'm not a psychopath trying to just, you know, rob somebody, steal their money. I'm killing them for a purpose, an ultimate great purpose that I believe in, a purpose that drives me, a cause that takes me above the ordinary thing." When we say a person is crazy, what do we mean? He's crazy. What do we mean? We mean he holds different beliefs. And I love this passage written by one of the great psychiatrists, R.D. Laying, it was his name, who wrote it. And I love that. It goes like this. "There must be something the matter with him, because he thinks there's something the matter with us for trying to show him that there's something the matter with him, when there is something the matter with him. For thinking that there's something the matter with us, for trying to help him to see that there is something the matter with him when there is something the matter with him, for thinking there's something the matter with us." You see how it goes? And people wrap themselves around this kind of repetitive and circular and webbing kind of thinking, in which it just gets into their brain completely. You know, on the cross, there were two other criminals with Jesus on the cross, and they were being led away to death with him. And in the book of Luke, chapter 23, dropping down to verse 32, "When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. But Jesus was saying, 'Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them.'" He was talking about the Romans now. Here the Romans were here. They were crucifying him. They were nailing the cross. "Father," and they were making fun of him too. I mean, this Jew out here, he thinks he's going to be king, and he thinks he's going to be emperor. And they were making fun of him and saying, And he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they were doing. For they were casting lots, you see, dividing up his garments among themselves. And then the people, that is the Jewish people, they were the people of the community. The people stood by, looking on. They were just stunned. They're stunned that this man is, you know, because they know he didn't do, what did he do? And even the rulers now came by and are sneering at him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself if he's the Christ of God, his chosen one. Let's see if he will save himself. So you can see, a belief can be, it can be very frightening. I mean, no matter what Jesus did, no matter how many miracles he had, no matter what he could do, they just said, well, you know, you're bad, you're evil, you're no good, you're not of God. And you say, well, he healed this person, and this person is now who was blind. Yeah, well, he did that because of the power of the devil in him. And by the way, if you could just have two kind of a whole bunch of little cards or signs, okay, of the devil, of God, okay, and you could place them on any kind of situation. This is what? Well, that's of the devil. Well, this is of God. And that's of the God. And then this is of the devil. Well, you know, well, the people who hate me, they're of the devil. People who love me, they're of God. The people that I don't like are of the devil. People I like are of God. And you could just go around the world, and this is what people do in their heads. They assign and attribute various things. You know, let's say our church, okay? And our church is persecuted, okay? What will we say? God wants to persecute us? No, we say, well, the devil is after us, right? The devil would be after us, right? That's how we say it. So, and if people love us and bless us, oh, God bless us with this, God bless us, but, you know, that happened, that's the devil doing that. So people all set up in their heads, and you do too, a statement, a belief of who does what, and you attribute it to God or the devil or evil or righteousness based on what your belief holds. So when Jesus, they see he's bad, if he cured somebody, oh no, he didn't cure them from love of God. He cured them because he's of Beelzebub. He's doing it by the prince of demons. That's how he's doing that. A belief can be very frightening. If a person says, I heard the voice and God told me to do it. God told me. I heard God telling me this. You know, people love their children ordinarily, you know. Parents have a baby. They have a child. They raise the child. And you would think the one of the things that a mother, a parent, a father would want for this child is the child to grow up completely well, completely healthy, live a wonderfully rich life of enjoyments, and have, you know, grow up to mate and, you know, marry and have children. I mean, this is what we all love, right? We protect our children, we protect our girls, we protect our boys. We want them to be well. But think about it. Children are entitled to life and to live a fulfilled life. But think about an Islamic parent who's been brainwashed by their religion to say, son, if you go out and kill some of the Jews, son, if you kill the infidels and you blow yourself up, we're proud of you. We're proud of you. You will enter heaven. We're proud of you. You make that sacrifice to kill the infidels, to kill the Jews. You know, the Bible has this in the book of Deuteronomy. You think that can't be done? Here's a statement in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12 and verse 31. God telling the Israelites, don't adopt the religion of those around you. Don't do that. Don't get into this the pagan things of the religion. And then he says in verse 31, Deuteronomy 12, you shall not behave toward the Lord, the Eternal, your God, For every abominable act which the Eternal hates, they have done for their gods. They set up a god, okay? The religions, the people, the shaman, the people who are promoting the religion say, we have to have a virgin. Well, every year we have to sacrifice somebody. Every year we have to have your children. You got to sacrifice one of your children in the fire and so on. And the Bible says, for even they burn their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Now, your normal parent, a mother, should want to protect that child, want to see it grow up. But because of a belief that they get in their head, that parent will sacrifice their children and think they're doing well and be proud that their child was selected to be burned for Dagon, burned for Chemosh, the god of the, one of these Moabites or the Hittites or Hivites and so on. All these pagan things around them, they will burn their children. I mean, can you imagine? But they will do it for a belief. They will do it for a belief. People select their beliefs. We select them. You'll admit it. I won't hate to admit it. But we have selective hearing, selective seeing, selective knowledge. We hear what we want to hear. We see what we want to see. We see the things that generally confirm the beliefs that we already hold. You want to go out. You love it. When if I were to give a sermon showing and saying, here's creation, and it's just this kind of proves that God exists, you love that. You would love that. All of you. I love it too. I have a prejudice. I have a prejudice that God exists, and I like to have anything that shows that God does exist. I love that. But how many would hear something that said, there might be something out here that doesn't quite fit with our plan of the way God is supposed to be? You wouldn't like that. You wouldn't even hear it. You wouldn't even listen to it. You would shut your mind to it. Even in the political realm, if you tend to be on the right side or right wing, you're not going to hear somebody that's talking about the left wing. And now we have in America, we have so-called news, channels news, one that is more on the right side, the right wing, for Trump, for the Republicans, and some that are on the left side, against them. How many of you turn to the other channels? I want to listen to one that's completely left wing and is always against Trump and always against this. How many of you will go to the opposite of what you really believe? And I just want to listen to it. I just want to take it in. No, you can't stand it. After a while, it bothers you, and you turn the channel off. I can't. That's disgusting. They're full of crap or whatever you want to say. And you just get very angry, and you just don't want to hear it because it hits against your belief system. It hits against it. You tell a person who's a conspiracy person, there are people who believe in the conspiracies. There are powers in the world that are running the banks and the this and there. They believe in the conspiracy. And if you tell that person, there's no proof on that. There's just no proof. Just like right now, there's a conspiracy theory that has been propounded, and I'm just listening to facts now. Somebody, I heard one of the guys say, they've been searching for the Russian collusion, with Trump and his campaign. For 7 months, they have come up with no facts. And guess what the person who believes Trump colluded will say? That shows how clever and how underhanded they are. They've hidden all the facts. We've got to keep searching until we find them. Because, you see, I believe they're there. I know they're there. We just have to keep searching till we find them. You tell a person who's a conspiracy theorist that there's no proof at all for his suspicions or her suspicions, and he or she will tell you, Well, that's because how clever, that shows you how clever they are to hide all this proof. Never question their beliefs. Never say they don't know. They just attribute it because their beliefs are paramount above all other things. And you remember the story, I won't have to turn there to, in the book of Acts, how Stephen was preaching to the Hellenistic Jews of his time, and he was talking to them, and he said, "And you have killed Jesus. You did not listen to God. You, our forefathers, had a history of not listening to God, and now you, in this end time, have crucified the Son of God." And you know what the Bible says? They stopped their ears, and they ran at him, and they wanted to kill him. Yeah, people will kill you sooner for your beliefs than they will for your food. There are people whose children will starve, and they won't hit you or kill you for the food. They won't. But if they realize your beliefs are contrary to theirs, they might. Beliefs are precious. Beliefs are important. This is what we're told in the book of Romans, especially in the Christian religion. How then shall they call on him? This is Romans 10, dropping down to verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher, without someone to herald the message? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, Paul writes, Romans now chapter 10, verse 16, Paul writes, however, they did not all hear the good news. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? And in verse 17, Paul writes, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing. How did you get your beliefs? How did you get whatever beliefs you hold? How did you get them? You weren't born with them. They weren't in you the day you were born. You didn't know anything. Your beliefs were formed over a long period of time based on experiences, based on information you got, propaganda, if you want to use that term, that you heard it over and over, slogans that you've heard. You know, people quote slogans all the time, don't they? They quote slogans. People live by little slogans, you know. Now, most of those slogans have a modicum of truth. They have a certain amount of truth, but then people live by that, and they apply it to everything. Just as there are people who take passages from the Bible, little passages, and they apply it to everything. They take it out of context and they apply it to everything. They read Psalms that are in poetic language that are not meant to be taken literally, and they apply it to everything. Who heals all your diseases, who forgives all your iniquities. Now, does God heal every single disease, every time, of every Christian, of every person, every time? No, he doesn't. I'm sorry. You say, well, David, you're an infidel. You go contrary to our beliefs. I think we ought to stone you right there from the pulpit. Well, this is the way it is. They don't. These things cannot be applied in absolute. Then that's how you lose your faith. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and it wasn't healed. As though God is obligated. And I've heard people say, well, here it is. But it's poetic. It's made in the general, that's the way it is. Yes, God loves to heal his people in general. But does he heal every single person? No, you see people in the Bible who were sick. People died who were sick. Not all of them were healed. And they were Christians. So our beliefs are formed on the basis of our information, propaganda, slogans, and especially repeated information. If you hear something repeated over and over and over and over and over and over again, you will finally succumb to it as though it were true. You believe it because you think it's true. It must be true. I keep hearing it. It keeps coming up over and over and over and over. And you think it's true because you think, because you've heard it so many times, it lodges them and must be the right thing. People take their beliefs on words of authorities. If an authority says it, it must be true. This authority believes it, it must be true. And many beliefs are formed on the absence of information. Absence. No scientific evidence, no scientific proofs, and yet beliefs are formed on the absence of that. So we become, and what do we call those kind of beliefs? Superstitions. Okay? People become superstitious because, oh, well, that sun, oh, the Nile, the people in Egypt of the Nile gods, the gods of the Nile, because that's where we get our life. The sun, we thought it was going down. On the sun can't be going, it can't be the invincible. We can't lose the invincible sun. Oh, it was going down in the winter. We think we're getting shorter and shorter days. What if it just disappears? But miraculously, and so they celebrate the birth of the sun god in December 25th, about the fifth day after the lowest point of the sun, the lowest amount of sunlight, which is generally December 21. By December 25th, it was the sun god. Now, the middle-aged Christians, they thought, that's a good idea. They worship the sun god. We'll turn that to worship of the Son of God. Okay, that's good. And we'll have this Christmas, this big Saturnalia celebration with all these things. That's a great idea. Superstitions are often formed on lack of verifiable information, lack of factual information. Beliefs can be inherited. You kind of grow up in a family where everybody believes this. You know, we all grew up in this country. We all grew up in the Christian religion. You didn't really go and evaluate when you became a Christian. You didn't say, well, I'm going to become a Christian. I've evaluated Taoism, Shintoism, Buddhism, Judaism, Islam. I've evaluated all those, and out of all those, I think I would like to be a Christian. You didn't do that. We inherited. Most of our beliefs we inherited. Pretty sure we're right, but we inherited them, right? We took them because our parents had them. Because we lived in a country where most people were Christians. And that's how we adopted our beliefs. Now, I'm not against that. I'm just telling you that's how it happened. Take a look at, and beliefs can be modeled, you know. Authorities believe it, therefore you should believe it. Authorities do it, therefore you should believe it. And because this person believes it. And we try to get people in, and people are always influenced by movie stars who believe something, or by this person who's believed something. Even though they don't know anything about that field, but because they're famous in this field, they must know something. We are overawed by celebrities in this country. Overawed. Take a look at a situation here in the book of John, chapter 7. John, chapter 7, dropping down to verse 43. Jesus had been preaching. People heard him. People were listening to him. And they didn't know whether, is this guy a good guy or not a good guy? See, when he preaches, is he right or is he not? And so you read in verse 43. So a division occurred in the crowd because of him. Some of them wanted to seize him, but no one laid his hands on him. The officers then came to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said to them, Now, the Pharisees and chief priests say to these officers, why didn't you bring him? Why didn't you arrest him? And the officers answered, well, we never heard a man speak the way this man speaks. We've never heard anybody say these things. And Jesus is talking. He's talking about the kingdom of God. He's talking about God as our Father and so on. And they said, well, we never heard anybody talk like that. The Pharisees then answered in verse 47. They answered and said to them, you have not also been led astray, have you? Have you guys been led astray? Now, what does that imply? That Jesus is not right. Have you been led astray, taking for granted? They didn't say, well, what's his proof? What did he say? It's just automatic. Have you been led astray? Are you going to believe that balderdash, that corruption? Are you going to be led astray? And then they asked this question. No one of the rulers or the Pharisees has believed in him, has he? In other words, why should you believe in him if your rulers haven't believed in him? Why should you believe in him if none of the Pharisees have believed in him? What's wrong with you people? Now, verse 50, Nicodemus, he who came to him before being one of them, said to them, does our law judge anybody unless it first hears from him and knows what he is doing? It doesn't do that, does it? Our law doesn't judge people before it hears, gives a man a chance to speak. And they answered him, this is what they said to Nicodemus, are you one of those people from Galilee? Are you from Galilee too? You know, search and see. There's no prophet that comes out of Galilee. They were so sure. No prophet could come out of Galilee. Therefore, what's wrong with you? So again, if your leaders don't believe in it, you shouldn't believe in it. If respected authorities don't believe in it, you shouldn't believe in it. That's the idea. Beliefs. They can be positive. They can be a blessing. They can be the way of salvation. Or they can be dangerous. We'll talk more about that in our next sermon.